This is A Coastal Story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. Edward Victor Griffith, known as Vic, had been serving as a signaller on HMS Impregnable for just over a year that Saturday at Plymouth in October 1898. Plymouth was a long way from home for Vic, but he'd been in the Navy for 6 years now, long enough for the town to be as familiar as home. Home for Vic was Alderborough on the Suffolk coast, where he came from two noted local seafaring families. His father and grandfather had both been master mariners, while the family on his mother's side, the Cables, well, it was rare a boat ever left Alderborough without at least one cable on board. The sun had come out after a shower of rain, and from the deck Vic could see the seafront picked out pin sharp in the rinsed air and golden sunlight. He lifted his telescope and scanned the shore, not looking for anything in particular, pretty girls maybe, but basically just passing the time. When he scanned around to Cremel Beach, he saw someone he recognised. A man, dark suit, dark hat, sitting there, hands linked around his knees, just staring listlessly at the sea. Vic's stomach turned over. It was him. It was definitely him. He snapped his telescope closed and hurried to the gangway. Three years earlier, on a Wednesday afternoon in May 1895, Frederick Bright closed up the Alderborough branch of Gurney's Bank on the High Street promptly at 1 o'clock, just as he'd done every Wednesday for the past 16 years. After cashing up and locking up, he was due to make the 15-minute walk to the station to catch the 2:20 train to Saxmundham, where he'd assist at the branch there for the rest of the day, just as he'd done every Wednesday for the past 16 years. But on that fine, late spring afternoon, Fred Bright never made it to Saxmundham. Nobody saw him on his way to the station. Nobody saw him at the station. Nobody saw him on the train. For probably the first time in his life, spent entirely in that small, close-knit coastal town, nobody knew where Fred Bright was. When he didn't arrive at the Saxmundham branch, a telegraph was sent, but there was no reply. The bemused branch manager, Samuel Flick, travelled to Alderborough and made inquiries, but there was simply no sign of Fred Bright. When Flick went into the bank and had the cash drawer opened, it was immediately clear something was amiss. Amiss to the tune of £868, 14 shillings and sevenpence, in fact. The man in the dark suit was still sitting on the beach when Vic arrived, but he had the presence of mind not to approach straight away. He watched from a distance as eventually the man stood up and made his way wearily to the steam ferry that crossed the Tamar to Admiral's Hard. Vic followed, staying out of sight. Despite a huge police hunt when it became clear a significant sum of money was missing, there was no trace of Fred Bright. His mother, with whom the 44-year-old lived, said he'd left the house as normal that morning. She'd noticed nothing unusual about him or his behaviour at all. He'd had his poached egg and his cup of tea, kissed her on the cheek, picked up his briefcase, and said he'd see her at the usual time. Mrs. Bright was no more the wiser than anyone else. As well as the bank, Fred Bright looked after the books for the local gas company. When they were examined, it turned out that several customers had not been sent a bill in months. A handful hadn't been billed in years. Yet according to the accounts, they were all paid up. It was becoming increasingly clear that Fred Bright's disappearance was no accident. As he tailed the man in the dark suit from the ferry, along Durnford Street, then left along Chapel Street, and eventually right onto Edgecombe Street, Vic noticed something different about his quarry. He looked beaten down. He was thinner than Vic remembered. His shoulders stooped. Every step he took had a weariness about it. When the man pushed open the door of Mitchell's refreshment house, Vic watched through the window as he sat down alone, put his elbows on the table and pressed his hands to his face for a long time. When he removed them, there were dark rings around his eyes and his cheeks were sunken. He looked pale. At that moment, a police constable swung around the corner, hands behind his back, whistling to himself. Vic called him over and started, in a low voice, to explain. Nobody in Alderborough could believe that Fred Bright would defraud his own bank and disappear. They did point out that the gas customers who hadn't been billed were the ones who'd find it most difficult to pay. Because Fred was always such a nice chap. Maybe the pressure to juggle the accounts had just got on top of him. It was a lot of money, though. A lot of money. Enough money to have him listed with a photograph in the National Police Gazette as a wanted man. There was a theory, one even mooted quietly by the police, that Fred had committed suicide. When a body was pulled out of the Thames with a large amount of money in the pockets a month after his disappearance, Inspector Mann of the Alderborough Police was summoned to London for a possible identification. By the time he arrived, the body had been confirmed as a man named Riddle. The inspector allowed himself a wry smile. A riddle is exactly what Fred Bright had left behind. When PC Bulch opened the door to Mitchell's dining room, the place went quiet. He was a big lad, PC Bulch. Rooms tended to go quiet when he walked into them. He quite liked it that way. A bit of order. A bit of respect. He clamped a meaty hand down onto the shoulder of the man in the dark suit, addressed him as Mr. Bright, and asked him to accompany him to the police station. Vic watched from the doorway as the man stammered that there was clearly a mistake, that his name was Henry Jones. He was an agent in the employ of the Pearl Insurance Company, who had for the last 3 years been living in Corsand. He repeated this mantra as PC Bulch slowly took his notebook from his breast pocket, licked the end of his pencil, and wrote all this down. Then, with a wordless flick of his fingers, he bade the man stand up, marched him out of the door, and all the way to the police station. Later that evening, Vic, who'd gone back to the impregnable when he saw the man being removed to the station, was summoned. The man was still insisting he was Henry Jones, Pearl insurance agent from Corsand. The company had even confirmed that, yes, he was their employee, Henry Jones, and had been with the company for nearly 3 years. Vic Griffiths was shown into Henry Jones's cell. When the man looked up and saw the naval signaller in front of him, he looked first surprised, then, frankly, relieved. As if a burden had been visibly lifted from him. "Hello, Vic," he said. "How are you?" Before joining the Navy, Vic Griffiths had worked as a telegraph boy, running through the streets of Alderborough delivering messages, several of which every week he placed into the hands of Fred Bright, branch manager at Gurney's Bank on the High Street. The game, such as it was up. Fred told the police how he had indeed started out trying to move money between the bank and the gas company to cover for people who couldn't pay their bills. It began with small amounts. He oversaw both sets of books, so there was no real chance he'd be rumbled before he could put things right. He'd sort it all out properly when he got the opportunity. But he never seemed to get the opportunity. And before he knew it, the situation had spiralled completely out of control. Convinced he was about to be caught, when he found himself alone in the bank that lunchtime, he decided, on the spur of the moment, to disappear. He grabbed what he could from the cash drawer, tucked it inside his jacket, locked up the bank as usual, and just left. He wasn't entirely sure how he'd ended up in Plymouth, and could never properly explain what had happened to the money, that it left him scraping a living, going door to door, selling tiny insurance policies for tiny commissions, and led one newspaper to describe him at his arrest as looking rather seedy. His reputation remained such, however, that at his trial, the bank asked the court if they could see their way to be lenient with Fred Bright. And the court could see their way. Fred got just 6 months hard labour. 3 years later, he was living in Forest Gate, far from Alderborough, far from Plymouth, still with his mother, and working as an accounts clerk. Everyone deserves a second chance, after all. Gurney's Bank went on to become Barclays, who still have a branch in Alderborough in the same building that Fred Bright used to manage. You can still take a tiny ferry from Cremel to Admiral's Hard. In doing so, you actually cross from Cornwall to Devon. Mitchell's refreshment house on Edgecombe Street is long gone. The site of Fred Bright's epiphany is now under a car park for a luxury yacht manufacturer. Vic Griffiths stayed in the Navy all the way through the First World War before being decommissioned in 1920 after 30 years' service. Neither Vic nor Fred ever lived in Alderborough again. That was A Coastal Story, and I'm Charlie Connolly. Now, as a bonus to Coastal Stories, I'm going to start something a little extra. An occasional book recommendation. I get through a lot of sea-related fiction and non-fiction, so I thought, as an aside from the main Coastal Stories podcast, I'd tip you the wink about some of the best ones with a little extra podcast. They'll only be short, just now and again, and they'll arrive as part of your Coastal Stories subscription, so you don't have to go looking for them or anything like that. They'll just turn up. Thanks to everyone who's donated to the podcast via ko-fi.com/coastalstories. The price of a pint, not London prices either, does really help keep this thing going. There's a link in the show notes if you want to join the ranks of the lovely people who've bought Coastal Stories a pint or two. Please do spread the word about Coastal Stories too. It would be great to get it out to as many people as possible. These waves were lapping the shingle at Deal at a particularly high tide in the blustery late afternoon of July the 29th, 2021.